Hello, colleagues, and welcome to the podcast we have today in the coming up presentation in Science of Practice in Medicine that is going to be about hypertension, presented in particular by Dr. John Foreman, who is from Boston University Nephrology and Hypertension Center, along with Dr. Sean Wherry. But more specifically, today we have two guests, one being Dr. Sean Wherry, who is a family medicine physician and the physician director of population health. Hello, Sean, and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, thank you for joining me. And we also have Dane Nelson, who is a population health consultant. Hello, Dane, and welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course, thank you. As you will notice, these are both pretty sharp individuals, so between my accent and my slow brain, I'll try to keep up with you both and hopefully make this conversation enjoyable and useful for everybody. We will be talking about hypertension in September in Science of Practice in Medicine, and the presentation will be specifically towards diagnosing and management, pairing up with the ongoing guidelines. Before we get into that with some details, Sean, why don't you give me a definition of what population health is and how do we go about population health within CentraCare?
Population health has a very broad definition, and it's simply the concerned with the delivery of healthcare to a given population. And when we look at population health literature, that really can be seen and divided a whole bunch of different ways. Typically that population may be a disease-specific population, a population that belongs to a particular provider, or in our case here at CentraCare, the population that belongs to our health system. And so in general, in broad definitions, population health is concerned with the delivery and quality of healthcare and quality outcomes, and is associated with things like barriers to care and trying to eliminate those barriers of care, SDOH, and things along those lines. Specifically, when we look at population health at CentraCare, and oftentimes when we look at population health from either health system or from a payer, really what we're looking at is really application and trying to maximize that quadruple aim. So the delivery of high quality care and doing it at sustainable via sustainable financial impact, and then driving that good experience for the patients. And so, in a very broad sense, that is how we approach it. Where the rubber kind of meets the road within CentraCare is, as payers, both private and government, have progressively come to see the value of population health and the value of that triple aim, they have started to try and incentivize care in a manner that maximizes that triple aim. So we have a number of contracts, both with commercial and with government payers, that are really designed in that manner to ensure that we're delivering high quality care, to ensure that that care is fiscally responsible, and then again, making sure that patient outcomes and patient experiences are incentivized as well.
I always find the term fiscally, responsible, because it depends so much on who defines that. But let me ask you this: so, if I understand correctly, and I think this is obvious, population health is, if each tree is a patient, population health is looking at the whole forest in a way that, you know, will go beyond just looking at each individual tree. What you are talking about is in part doing better science, and also in part doing keeping the lights going, so to speak, and ideally get better lights for lower price for the medical entity. Now, if I'm a person down in the forest caring for a bunch of trees, how can population health help me? Basically, I'm a frontline provider, right?
Yeah. And, you know, we see most of that impact presently in primary care, but we are trying to extend that into our specialty providers as well. But where the rubber meets the road is where we try to bring population health insights in terms of outcomes, quality, et cetera, regarding the individual patients and panels. And so we work in primary care very, very frequently and very, very closely with our population health consultants who are embedded in our clinics. And they provide for us as up-to-date data as we can get regarding kind of those endpoints.
Now, you're still talking about generals. Is that something that you can provide for specific providers? Like, for example, I see the numbers are doing bad, but I don't know what I'm contributing to that. Maybe I'm doing fantastic and somebody's pulling everything down, or can you provide for specific providers?
Depending upon the source of our data, we can drill down pretty close, pretty far into, and even get, I think, patient level data about cost, for instance. You know, same thing with some of our quality metrics, which we can look at quality scores of our individual providers. We can look at it at the clinic level. We can look at it at the health system level. And so we really can drill down as far as we need to try and improve that care. And again, it's a very close relationship that we have at our clinics with our population health consultants who allow us to do that. And it very much is a work in progress, right? You know, it's kind of like it's jazz. We're figuring it out as we do it. And that's really where we see that contact with that frontline provider. Now, your analogy with the forest and the trees is fantastic, because that's an analogy that we kind of often use in population health. You know, we need, as a family medicine doctor, need to be concerned with my individual patients, so the individual trees. I need to be concerned with and try to best leverage things to improve outcomes for the stand of trees that I'm taking care of. But we also, as a health system, are also responsible for those trees that aren't in sight, right? And that's where population health gets interesting and a little bit more complicated, right? How do we, you know, the known trees we can take care of, how do we take care of those trees that are in our forest that we have no line of sight on, right? So we don't even see that stand. And so that kind of two-pronged approach of population health and center care is really working that problem from both ends of that solution of that equation, right? You know, the individual or clinic working to improve outcomes, and then trying to leverage what we have as a health system to take care of those trees that maybe the individual can't see.
Now, you mentioned that you could drill down to individual providers, and I'm sure you do. Do you? Or that's in theory?
We do. You know, for instance, one of the things that we have done for a number of years now is look at patients who we call our rising risk patients, right? So we can provide providers with a list of a curated list of their patients that say, you know, our analyses of these patients indicate that in the next, you know, period of time, we're going to see increased ER utilization, increased hospitalization, worsening risk, worsening outcomes, and along with that, increasing costs. You know,
that's something that in real life you are doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and where the kind of jazz comes in is trying to manipulate those variables so we have actionable plans, right? So, you know, what is the right population to be presenting to a provider? You know, what are the levers that provider has within that population to change their outcomes, to reduce their risk, to reduce their ER utilization, risk for hospitalization, and all of those things. You know, I think it's population health, because it straddles kind of the finance side and the care side, it's very easy for us to get too focused on the dollar side of what we do. But I think what we have to remember as clinicians is that dollar side is tied to patient experience and care, right? So generally, the patients who are costing our system more, they are suffering more. They're suffering from disease more. They have more fragmented care. Their quality of life is typically not as great. So as distasteful as it is, a lot of times for us as physicians to think of the cost of the patient, it is a surrogate for the actual care that the patient is getting. And so our goal is to decrease that cost, not by denying care or giving less than stellar care. Our goal is to decrease that cost really by improving our patient outcomes, right? Improve that experience for the patient.
Now, Dane, you being a population health consultant, are you the one who delivers this data set to providers and tools, for example?
Great question. That's a large part of what a population health consultant does. And we're all fill in the gaps and maybe ask a question back to Sean or expand on some of these thoughts. There's been this transition that we've been in population health where we've been very outcomes heavy, you know, where we're delivering data that's defining who the populations we care for and how do we coordinate better. And I keep thinking about your analogy of the forest. It's an interesting one, but I mean, we have this ACO we participate in and this centrally integrated network, and we're coordinating all these moving pieces of how do we leverage things, you know, like our primary care departments and our specialty departments? When do we leverage wraparound services? And the really interesting part of this conversation, and Sean, please speak to this, like we know primary care is finite. You know, we have a lot of patients we care for, but we truly have to understand where do we need to spend the most amount of energy? And that's largely what population health does and things like risk identification. How do we strategically align what finite resources we have in order to get the best possible outcomes? Because we can certainly see every patient. Do we need to see every kiddo, you know, in the world who presents as a low-risk patient? Some will argue absolutely, you know, but there are also individuals that might require more hands-on time. So how do we figure out in terms of risk identification, how do we do that the most effectively? And the whole point of this conversation is, of course, hypertension. But that's a large part of what we do in population health as in a consulting role. It's to take these complications that these patients are having and understand how do we put interventions in place to reduce high cost care. For example, you know, why is it that these patients, you know, may seek care in the emergency department, or why do they become hospitalized? Why do we have an overabundance of patients that are critically complex? But ultimately, I go back to that original point, you know, we're very much focusing on outcomes, and there's this transition period where you made an interesting point that we provide data all the way down to the provider level, which is very true. You know, we stratify, we find essentially lists of patients from a concurrent perspective. Here's your individuals that are high cost, high utilization, but that's such a hard topic because most of their, you know, utilization was in the past. It doesn't always mean it's in the future, but we're population health consultants like me, you know, really do our job well. It's in identifying trends, and to Sean's point, who's at risk of increasing in cost and utilization, and what can we do proactively or what we call predictively.
Now, this is a very interesting topic. I'm not saying just that because of the formality of saying interesting, fascinating, and all of that. I think it's very interesting because it's one of those things that I'll speak as a physician, right? But this includes physicians and APPs. We go to school to deal with an individual. And unless you get some extra training on populations and public health, etc., you, of course, want to help a lot of people, but you deal with an N of one at any given time, and then you move on to the next one. So all of this is kind of a mysterious thing at the end of the day on how it works and how it helps. And to be honest, I would love to continue to dig in, but we are going to run out of time. And certainly, I have told you before, I'll disclose that I want to do more podcasts on this to speak specifically about population health. But let us move on to hypertension with that all said. Now, I'm going to venture on this. To be truthful, this started from your end that you were interested in giving a presentation of hypertension. So big topic, affects a lot of people. Prime example for population health. Why hypertension and what's going on with hypertension in center care?
Yeah, so I agree. I mean, I actually think hypertension is a fantastic example of population health and work at work. So we initially came to it looking at differences in treatment goals and differences in really standard of care between the general practice that a lot of our providers are doing and some of the more up-to-date hypertension guidelines, particularly the American Heart Association and guidelines for hypertension, which Dan, I think originally were 2019, if I'm not mistaken, when the first ones came out. Is that right? AHA guidelines. Yeah. And then which just, you know, coincidentally were updated 2 weeks ago. So we have been working on a project here at CentraCare in conjunction with Epic and UpToDate that is looking to embed patient-specific guidelines and patient-specific recommendations for hypertension care into the Epic system itself.
So hold on, let me stop you there for a second. If I understood correctly, you found that the care for any sort of specific patient profile was different among different providers. So we had a lot of variability.
Yeah, so we have some variability, and then we have variability relative to what a lot of cardiologists or nephrologists would say would be the standard of care.
Yes.
I mean, not surprising, right? Like, as physicians, we have gotten much better at this, but there was a time where, you know, kind of how you practice when you left residency was kind of how you practice the rest of your, the rest of your career. And that's certainly changing with the emphasis on evidence-based medicine. And so we were working on a project that was really, really, really looking at how do we drive some of that adaptive change from a technical standpoint. Leveraging the EHR to notify providers of best practices for specific patients when they were seeing them at the bedside. And what we found in our study sites is that the technical aspect was not the problem that we had. The biggest problem we had was the adaptive change and the adoption of the new ACC AHA guidelines. And so as we looked further into this, and as
how
we...
Can you say that in a kind of a different way?
Mm-hmm.
In plain terms, the problem was not the tools, but the implementation of the care by the providers. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's the tools were firing, but because it differed from the general practice, we weren't seeing a lot of adaption of the tools because of that delta. Right.
And that reflected in providers not doing the best possible care for those patients?
Yes. Potentially. Yes. Yes. So, and Dr. Forman will talk about this in the former presentation, but the change in these guidelines, the desire to be a little bit more aggressive with our hypertension goals, really does have population health implications in that evidence suggests that on a population level, it does decrease risk for heart attacks and strokes, decrease risk for hospitalizations, decrease risk for these poor outcomes. On a level commensurate with some of the other interventions that we take as standard therapy, like statin use, et cetera. And so that delta between the general practice that we saw and what the recommendations were was enough that we felt we had to do an educational campaign surrounding these new guidelines. And so it was born out of the study and born out of the evidence that we see in population health in terms of trying to get upstream of these diseases and to improve downstream outcomes.
So I'm going to say something very obvious, perhaps, but if I'm right, this is a prime example of the use of population health. If I'm standing next to the tree, I don't see the forest, but population health can tell me, you know, you have some fires and the forest is not doing well.
Absolutely.
Okay. So to use this as an example in population health, and we'll have a talk about the science of managing hypertension, what tools are you offering right now at the individual levels or general level?
So and we'll talk about this a little bit in the presentation as well. I mean, certainly as we roll out, which we don't have yet a time frame for scale and spread of this up-to-date EPIC program, but certainly as we roll that out, that will be a tool that folks can utilize that will help remind them about these changes. And that program is very, very deep and very, very detailed. You can use it superficially and just use it for recommendations, or you can really, really drill down and say like, all right, you know, where does my patient fit on this?
So you're basically punching data from your patient and...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that will be coming down the pike again. Not sure as to when it will happen, but we still plan to roll that out on the primary care level. You know, so it kind of differs between specialty level and primary care level. On the specialty level, what we really, really want our specialists doing is identifying elevated blood pressures, confirming those blood pressures, and if they're elevated, and it's not a specialty that typically treats hypertension, so you know, so nephrology,
infectious disease,
CARDS, In fact, so you, for you, yeah. So if you see it, confirming the blood pressure, if the blood pressure is elevated, get them to circle back somehow with us in primary care. In primary care, we've got multiple ways of approaching this. We certainly will treat it old school wise, where we are seeing the patient in clinic and titrating it. Throughout family medicine, we have a robust nurse-led visits and protocols where our nurses will see patients and have protocols to adjust those medications to bring them into goal. We have MTM pharmacists that help us do this as well. And so it really is a multi-pronged approach to taking care of these patients. But the real foot stomper on the specialty side is feed those patients back to us. Doesn't have to be an appointment. It could just be even a notification back to the primary care team. We can have the nurses recheck those pressures. We can fold them back in and start working on getting those pressures under better control.
Fantastic. Dane, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, the population health piece that ties into hypertension, I feel like is very heavy on the chronic disease management, but more importantly, it's the data story. Dr. Weary, Sean, was discussing strategies like how do we influence this thing? And of course, understanding who's at risk in our hypertension population will certainly influence a different story. But where we and Pop Health will certainly influence this work is providing data. It's providing individual provider-specific, here's your panel, here's your population of individuals who are at goal, and to the point of the population health portion of this presentation, how does managing this population influence our pursuit in value-based care? You know, you made the point about what do we have to do to keep the lights on, and it's very complex in terms of that relationship of optimal management of patients who, you know, are in control with their blood pressures and the extent that that translates to essentially a heavier reimbursement or what we're seeking for in terms of budgetary concerns. So that's interesting. But going back to the data story, because ultimately the ultimate outcome here is cost, you know, right? And this guidelines, essentially, if we follow it, patients will live longer, will have less mortality, morbidity, and all that. So patients are theoretically at less risk. Less risk often associates with lower cost and managing those populations. But we don't end just there. Like I think of some of these reports that Sean, myself, and this project team have developed. It's understanding clinical inertia. And that's a heavy part of these guidelines. Why is it that certain patients come in and don't have any changes in medications? And how do we ultimately influence that? Like why is it that certain providers have different proclivities in terms of medication habits? Mm-hmm. Does that follow guidelines? And essentially, a large part of Pop Health is building the data story all the way down to the provider level so we can effectively have these conversations. And it's interesting. And some insights that I've found especially relevant, and it's actually opposite of what you would think when these new grads are coming out of medical school, you think they would be, you know, ready to go and prescribing all the medications in the world for these patients. That's ultimately this aggressiveness and these guidelines are kind of pointing that way. But it's actually the opposite. You know, some of our newer providers or our newer APPs might be prescribing fewer medications, and someone that's a little bit more seasoned and has a little bit, you know, more robust of a practice. And, you know, we have measurable data to prove that. I think that's really interesting. And, you know, we don't just simply end there in terms of clinical inertia. We can understand, is it a geographic or a rural framework where we might have practices in different areas and that relationships of access and an optimal blood pressure?
Well, that's unfortunately all the time we have, but fascinating. And I think it has to come a day in which lack of homogeneous care or homogeneous care in medicine becomes unacceptable. And I think that's where we should be heading. And I'll make a point again to coerce you into doing a talk specifically on population health in the future, so we can talk about that. Sean and Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'd love to come back. We'll talk. Dan and I will talk about population health all day long. So don't.
All right.
Wish for it unless you got a whole bunch of time.
We'll plan a picnic. More than happy. You bring the bass, I'll bring the guitar.
It sounds good.
Thank you both.
Thanks.